when you were watching the video. Something about that video brought some emotion out of you. You know, today being Youth Day, the focus has got to get back to the youth. To the youth. You know, we say that and we clap that. But there's still been a ball dropped somewhere. Before we begin, let us pray. And I will ask you right now for forgiveness if I step on any toes or anything. By no means do I purposely try to step on a toe. Anything from me, don't view it as Wes up here. View me as just being Christ's instrument. Dear kind and heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. I thank you for allowing us to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. At the end of the day, we are all children. And in your eyes, we're all young. So, Father, I ask that you might touch the heart of someone today. I ask that these people may not see Wes the third up here, but they may just see an instrument of yours, Father, a child of yours. I pray that you may open hearts and minds today, that someone may decide at the end of this, when the altar call is made, that they are ready to turn away from whatever it is they're involved in, and they're ready to meet you again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. But there's been a ball drop somewhere. If the stat says that 80% of people before the age of 18 decide and make a decision and decide to begin a relationship, but then as I look around on a week-to-week basis, we are missing that age group in the church that was up there. I'm going to have you stand if you fit this age category. If you're between the ages of 0 and 14, stand up. 0 and 14, stand up. Now, if you're of the ages of 15 to 30 years old, stand up. 15 to 30 years old, stand up. Now, as we still look out, for some strange reason, you guys can sit down. That's the minority in here. For some strange reason, that's the minority in here. But if we went somewhere else, that age group, that age category could easily become the majority, in which in most cases, it is the majority. I want to start off with a brief little story. There were two young men. I'll call them Brendan and Lawrence. Y'all laugh. I didn't say nobody. Brendan and Lawrence was in here. Y'all laugh. But anyhow, Brendan and Lawrence were talking one day about parents and adults and the different things that they teach them. One complained to the other. Lawrence complained to Brendan. He said, "Man, you know what? All adults, all parents, they do to us is this. First, they teach us how to talk. I learn how to say dada. I learn how to say mama. Then I learn how to read a little bit. I'm able to read some scriptures. And then after that, they teach me how to walk. They teach us how to walk. But after we learn those things, after we learn how to do both, one of the things that we're told is sit down and be quiet." I say it again. After you teach them how to walk and talk, they're told to sit down and be quiet. So I look in the church and I say, how come that age category is not here? Because their talk at that point in time is reversed. I want you to talk. Use your words. Learn how to walk away from altercations. Learn how to walk. But when you get up to age where you finally got a little voice and you're not afraid to speak up, I want you to sit down and don't talk. Then we look around and say, where is Brendan and Timmy? Well, I seen Brendan with 4 or 5 girls. I seen Brendan hanging out with the homeboys. Because the homeboys or the girls are letting little Brendan still walk and talk. Church, here's the question. How do you feel about young people in your church? Today we want to focus on the importance of youth ministries in our church. How do you feel about young people in church? What is your view of young people in church? Does your view match up with Christ's view, or does it go a little something like this? We want you to come to Sabbath school. Just come. We want the church to be packed out with you. Does it go, we want you to come up to 11 o'clock service and worship with us, but you got to worship the way I want you to worship. We want you to come to 11 o'clock service, but we want you to worship like we worship. I want you to worship like your body can't function a little bit. Because if you go to the club, you're going to worship, or they call it, I won't do it, twerking. But in the club, they allow me to worship just the way the world worships. They don't tell me to stop. Actually, they tell me to turn it all the way up. Young folk know what I'm talking about. I see you. The turn up. But when we come to church, they tell us, turn it all the way down. Turn it all the way down. Maybe don't clap so loud. Maybe don't praise your Savior so loud. Don't give too much energy. But when I see you in the world, I say, man, our young people, ooh, pray for them. But when they come to the church, they want to praise you. Or we want you to sing songs, but only the songs we want you to sing. How do you feel about the youth in church? And see, the reality is, some of us still want to be youthful. Some of us still be trying to be youthful out there. But we've learned how to come up in here and put our older status on. But deep down, we want to be youthful. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. We want you to be present. Maybe your view is we want you to be present as you, but your opinion really don't count. That video just showed us it's a changing world. It's a changing world. And see, what we got to learn is this, is that our young people are a very important part of Christianity. Forget the church, of Christianity. I love the church, but it's a deeper movement than that. It's not about this church name, that church name. It's about winning souls. It's about bringing people to Christ. It's not about bringing a person to a certain church. The church is not the one that's going to save you. Truth be told, some of us in church right now, but some of us don't even know why we're here. Truth be told, some of us don't even understand the reason, the person that we're coming to church for. Young people, I want you to know you're not coming to church for your mom. You're not coming to church for your dad. You're not coming to church for your grandma. You come into church to develop that relationship. Turn in your Bibles. The scripture was Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. And it says, then they brought the little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and bless them. There's three principles in there. One is bringing youth to Christ, bringing kids, bringing people to Christ. verse 13. Then we need to also encourage. And then we also need to equip them with the proper tools to be effective. So let's first break down bringing the youth to Christ. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. See, here's the thing. The first step that you need to do is this, is bring a young person. Bring a person to Christ. Yes. Bring a person to Christ. Now, you might say, I don't have no more kids. I don't have any teenagers. I don't know any young people. You knock on the door to somebody, you can bring somebody to Christ. You can show them who Christ is. You know, and here's the reason we have to. It's our responsibility. We have to bring them so that Christ can touch them. See, it goes back to something like this. The woman with the issue of blood had it for a while. But let me tell you, yes, all she knew is, I just need to reach out and touch his garment. I just need to be able to reach out and touch it. You know why she knew that? Somebody brought her to Christ before. And so she knew, all I got to do is reach out and touch it. See, that's what we need to do. Bring a young person so that way they can hear this word. So that way they can learn about Jesus Christ. So that way as they're going through their issues, what they know is this. All I have to do when the going gets tough is just reach out. Reach out and just touch my Savior's garment. And I can be healed. Because that's when they will start growing and having that faith. But here it is. When they come, we cannot stop them. Cannot stop them. We cannot stop them. Some of us will sit back and say, all the things that's wrong with the youth. Some of us will sit back and say, man, it was a lot of young people up there, but some of them wore some earrings. When all they were trying to do was serve their Savior. But some might look and say, well, he was wearing jeans. Or she was wearing earrings. Or she might have had some lipstick on that I didn't like. But here's the thing. Sometimes we look and say, that's what's wrong. As opposed to saying, man, did you see all those beautiful young people up there leading out in praise and worship? Did you see all those young people up there doing the service? Did you see that? See, maybe they not where you are yet spiritually, but they'll get there. See, it's like a marriage. I've been married 5 years. I'm not gonna know what my dear brother D know, or brother Anthony. He gave me some tips last week. Been married for a while. See, as young guys in marriage, we might think, okay, well, I'm going to buck what my wife say. You talk to one of the older gentlemen, they say, no, son, just agree. Or they'll tell you, yeah, Blaine, she always right. She always right. That's what they'll tell you. She's always right. Right, married man? Older married man? She's always right. But see, it's like this. For young people, they have to continue to grow. They have to continue to grow. Don't start laying down this rule, that rule. You can't do this. No. Show them. Bring them to Christ. Let Christ work on them. Even though you think you're the parent and you think you can discipline them, newsflash for you. At the end of the day, God is our one and only Father. He will work on us in his own time. And that's what we have to remember. We're simply there as parents to bring our young people to him, to bring them to church, let them know the reason they're coming to church. Once again, not to lay down rules on what you should do and what you shouldn't do. The sad reality is that's why a lot of young people are not here right now. Because they've been told what they should or should not do, or what they can and cannot do. And before we get there, we got to try building relationships. You got to try building relationships with these young people, with people in general. The first thing to winning a soul is this: building a relationship. First thing to winning a soul is allowing someone to trust in you and to believe in who you are and allow them to see who you are, allowing them to see what Christ has done in your life. See, a lot of times people just say, oh, well, things ain't like they used to be when I was growing up. These young guys don't act like we used to act. Newsflash, times have changed. Times have changed. I know some of y'all used to listen to some of the oldies. Get in your car, 99.3 might be on. Call it good music. Music has changed. And I'll tell you this, being a little younger, the music nowadays, whew. But music from back in the day had a message in it. But we still must be able to understand what these young people are being served with. Like I said, you got to be willing to build relationship with them. And building a relationship with somebody is knowing what they like, knowing their likes and dislikes. That might mean you have to know some of the entertainers that they know. You might need to know about Lil Wayne. I'm not telling you go buy his CD, but you might need to know the people they're looking up to. You might need to know who Macklemore is. You might need to know who Lady Gaga is. If you don't know some of these people, you might need to know who LeBron James is. You have to know some of these people that your children are looking up to. You have to know a little bit about these people so that way you can relate to them. Once again, I'm not telling you to indulge in and condone what these people are doing that they're looking up to, but I'm telling you, if you don't know something a little bit about what young people are dealing with, they're not going to give you the time of day. They are not going to begin to open up to you. I will tell you that. I will tell you that. So here's, for example, they listen to a guy named 2 Chainz. He sings a song called I'm Different. Yeah, I'm different. But by knowing that, I've been able to help a lot of young people because they sing that I'm different, but they really not different. Because all they're doing is everything that the world is doing. See, and if they really want to be different, I tell them, I say, if you really want to be different, go ahead and be a believer. Don't sag your pants. If you want to be different, you can drop your earrings. See, but I'm able to reach them that way because I know a little bit about what they got going on there. So we got to bring people to Christ. Bring people to Christ. We have to do that by developing a relationship with them first. Develop a relationship, a sincere relationship. Not a relationship where we're waiting for them to do something wrong and say, well, I told you so. Once again, you got to catch them when they are young. Statistics just show that by the age of 14, the age of 14 is when people start making that commitment. How many of you were baptized before the age of 14 by a show of hands? That's the majority of the church. It's the majority of the church. But then there's something after that. It's something about maintaining that relationship after you're baptized. And that's the point that we gotta find there. That moves us to point number 2, is encouraging our youth. Encouraging our youth. Encourage, don't discourage. Once again, as we in verse 13, the disciples rebuked those who brought them. See, we all are disciples of Christ, followers of him. We have to be very wary that we are not rebuking the youth for coming to Christ, that we're not rebuking them from getting involved with church by setting different rules. Are good. Rules are good. Don't get me confused there. But we have to be, it's a fine line. Don't want to push them away too far by telling them, once again, don't do this, don't do that, can't wear this, can't wear that. No, invite them to give service to Christ first. Invite them to do that first. Once again, but when they rebuke them, I will let you know, if you are becoming a roadblock to people coming to Christ, let me share what he says. he was greatly displeased. He was greatly displeased. Let me tell you this. If you are the cause of somebody leaving a church, Christ is very displeased with you. Some of us don't like to hear that because sometimes we get caught up in our own beliefs, in our own beliefs on how I feel something should be done, and I rub it off on somebody else, and that turn that person all the way around, and they will not come back. How many of us know people that have been turned around like that? I'm guilty. I've done it before. See, I'm able to say that. We've all done it before. But I want you to know that if we are becoming roadblocks to people, especially the young people, Jesus loves the little children. If we're becoming roadblocks to people, Christ is very displeased. And sometimes we're trying to do it out of good habits. I'm sure what the disciples thought was, no, these little loud kids, y'all don't need to bother Christ right now. Don't bother Jesus right now. No, but he wants them. He wants them. It's just like that in the church. Maybe we think this young person, your voice ain't really the right voice. No, invite them. Because, see, there's people that they can reach that we cannot reach. There's people that we can't reach that they can reach. You know, every good team, I play a lot of basketball. Every good team has a good mixture. You got to have a mixture of veterans as well as a mixture of young guys that got a lot of energy. A lot of energy. You guys know about those young dudes. Got a lot of energy. But at the same time, young people, you have to be wise enough to accept the veterans' knowledge that they're giving you. Because, see, I know as a young person, you can run all day long. But sometimes you can just be running in a circle. And that's where you have to take the advice of someone that's been there. And veteran Christians, that's where you fill in. You guide them. You want them to run with that energy. You want to encourage them to run with that energy. But you got to give them the proper guidance with it. Take them to the Word of God, not to the Word of West the Third. You take them to the Word of God to show them, not for your own personal beliefs. Once again, encourage them so that way you don't displease Christ. Encourage them to receive and accept Christ in their lives. Turn to Luke 14 and 23 real quick, and I really like this scripture here. It said this: then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them. That's the key word that I like. And compel them to come in that my house may be filled. People, we have to compel people to come into the house of God. We have to compel people to accept Jesus Christ. Meaning, we got to have things that make people want to come. Got to do things that make people want to come. If that means turning up the praise and worship a little bit, then that's what we have to do. If that means sometimes service got to run a little shorter, that's what we have to do. Whatever it is to win them in, we have to compel them to do it. If that means sometimes as an elder, I come with a jean on and a button down to show people that it is okay to come as you are. We have to compel them to come. Compel them. Compel is a strong word. Because, see, this world is compelling them to come on out to the world. Satan don't play. He's just compelling them. The Bible itself tells us sin tastes good for a short while. I'm going to tell you right now, and all of us have been there. We've been places and done things we haven't or shouldn't have done. But if you keep it real, it felt good. You had a good time going out to the club. You had a good time hanging out with people. We have to compel young people to let them know it is okay to remain pure. It is okay to be a virgin. Because this world shows, man, to have sex with a bunch of people is good. We have to compel them to accept Christ. We have to compel them. And that's why I like that verse so much, because the word tells us itself, compel to fill my house. which means we might have to start a Southside Twitter account. We might have to start a Southside Facebook. We might have to start a Southside Instagram. Reality is we should be Instagramming the church right now. We filled up in service right now. I guarantee people will see somebody, oh, that's what's such and such over there. They'll come to church because they see people. We got to compel it. We should be Instagramming church service right now. Facebooking church service right now. Because that compels young people to come. If we don't touch them where they are, we'll never reach them. And once again, it's not just young people. Majority of a lot of folks, 35 and over, be Facebooking all day. So we can compel those that have been lost to come back. When they understand, you know what? Being a Christian is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I'm telling you, ever since I've accepted and fully accepted Christ in my life, man, it is so cool. It is so cool. Young people, I'm telling you, it's cool to truly accept Him. It's cool to stand up on your campus and be a Christian. It is cool to do that. It is cool. I'm going to tell you like this. For a young man, because I know this is something that y'all struggle with. It is cool to be able to take a stand. Tim Tebow does it. Man, I'm a virgin. It's cool. We get a little quiet when we talk about things like that for some reason. But once again, we got to compel the youth to know it's cool to wait until I'm married to start indulging in sexual activities. It's cool. I don't got to listen to this music that's belittling. It's cool. I don't got to listen to the music that cuss all the time. It's cool to say, you know what? I'm just hanging out at the church this evening. Y'all want to come through? People will come. We got to make it cool to be a Christian. We got to make it cool again to come to church. Got to make it cool. And I'm not saying to cater over to the world by no means. But this world is, they making it pretty hip to get out there. And these young people don't stand a chance. They don't stand a chance. We got to keep these doors cracked open here in the church. But we got to encourage the youth. You got to share with them what Christ has done for you. You got to share with them that even though the road get a little tough, God was still with me. When the winds came, Christ was still with me. When I lost my partners, Christ was still there. See, we got to share those testimonies with them. You got to share with them, hey, I used to do this, and this is the results that it gave me. See, sometimes the sin tastes good, but the consequences from sin, whoo, are bad. Are bad. I'll share a story with y'all. One year, when we were going to Dr. Doolin's for his annual Boys to Men thing, I jumped on the motorcycle thinking I was cool, I can ride that thing. Nobody told me what'll happen if you come off of it. I can show you the scars all on my hands and my legs right now. But my point is this. If someone before would have shared their testimony with me that I fell off a motorcycle and hurt myself, I wouldn't have got on there. Sometimes if you share where you've been in the world as an older saint, a young person won't want to go there. A young person won't want to do those things because you've shared with them. I've always been this type of guy. Y'all can ask my parents. People can tell me something. I've always loved being around older people. And I can listen to them from their experiences, and I can say, hey, I'm not going to go there. But if you didn't know me, you might have thought that I've experienced a lot in my life. And here's the reason I have, is because I took everybody else's experiences and I put them in my own self. Okay, you did this and this is what happened? I'm good. I don't need to do that. But as Christians, as older Christians, if we encourage the youth with not being afraid of sharing your testimony of where you've been, because truth be told, you ain't always been the one that came in a fresh three-piece. Truth be told, you ain't always been the one that came with a proper length dress. Right. See, you were before that person that was just maybe coming out the club. And it's okay. But a young person needs to know that. Share your testimony with them. Testimony is encouragement. Testimony is encouragement. Some of you might, as older saints, might have been fighting depression before. There's a young person in this building right now that's fighting depression. But I'm sure if you share with them how you overcame depression, they would feel good enough about talking with you, because you just shared with them and encouraged them that you can make it. Young people are facing peer pressure. Drugs. That's something that don't go away. If maybe you kind of were into drugs before, I'm not telling you to highlight what you've done, but maybe you show some of the scars and some of the consequences, they might not even need to experience it. Or simple as this. You guys all know, a lot of us get to the age where we get about, I think the age where we stop trying to really come to church about 19, 20. Right in there, we like, oh, okay, I'm good. But if we share how life was through those times that we decided to stop going to church, the next young person may say, you know what, I'm going to just stay firm the rest of my life. I'm going to stay in here all of my life. Because a lot of people, we start missing people in church between the ages of 20 to 35. Then you get a lot of people that start coming back after about the age of 35 because they've been through some life experiences. You know, sometimes young people, I know you feel like, and I'm Adventist, I've been sheltered my whole life. I got to go test this out my own self. No, you don't have to. Church, I encourage you to share your testimony. Encourage. Tell a young person, hey, good job today. There was a lot of young people up here singing today that played a part in the program. I challenge you as a saint to just go up and shake their hand. Hey, you know what? Y'all did a good job. Brother Ricky, young Brother Ricky, you did a good job up there. Encourage them. Encourage them. We are people, and people love to be encouraged and enthused. So encourage the youth. Lastly is we need to equip the youth with the proper tools to get out there. But we do that, first of all, by understanding what is youth ministry exactly. What does it involve? Youth ministry is an offering service by the local church as a whole, to and for young people. Youth ministry is set up to meet the needs of the youth. Plain and simple. It's set up to meet the needs of the youth. And then to take it a step further, it's set up to help them develop and establish a relationship with Christ, their Savior, for themselves, where they can express how they're feeling as youth, where they can express what they're going through, where more of the sermons and the preaching is focused more to their needs, their own individual needs. It involves us communicating the grace of God. It involves us communicating the grace of God, letting them know that we serve a risen Savior, letting them know that we serve a Savior that is willing to forgive, letting them know, as the brother sings the song so properly, Marvin Sapp, he only sees the best in you. He only sees the best in you. When everybody else sees the worst in you, he sees the best in you. Communicating that to them, letting them know your Savior ain't waiting for you to make a mistake. Your Savior is just waiting for you to come to him with open arms. And we teach them through preaching and teaching of the Word of God, by giving them proper Bible studies, sitting down and teaching them exactly why they are a Christian, then breaking down why are you a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, taking it deeper and deeper and deeper, and sharing with them once again what Jesus Christ did for them. What he did for them and what he done in your life. Why should we invest in a strong youth ministry? We've seen only 3% of funds go to youth. 3%. 3%. When kids, young people, children are all around in the church. We gotta invest in them. We got to invest in them because it's for their benefit. Because as we know, as older people, is that there's no in-between in life. There's life and death. We know that you're not promised tomorrow. So it's for their benefit. We know that there is a heaven or a hell. We know that. And we have to let these young people know that you got to accept Christ. It's for their benefit. We got to let them know that he is their comforter, that he is their shelter in the time of storm. We got to let them know these things. We got to let them know, some of y'all know what I'm talking about, that he can heal you. We got to let them know that he is our Prince of Peace. We got to let them know that he is their best friend, their BFF. We got to let them know that it's for their benefit. They need the saving power of God in their lives every day. They need a strong faith, a rooted faith, so that way they can get out and face whatever the world has to offer them. Because the world has a lot, and he jabs a lot. Satan's job is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. And I tell you what, if you don't have faith, you will either get stolen, you will be destroyed, or you will be killed. And I'm not talking maybe physically, I'm talking spiritually. And that's a cold place to be. Very cold place to be. So we got to encourage them. It's for their benefit. They need to know the love of Christ. They got to know the love of Christ. They got to know that Christ's love is unconditional. That there's no condition on it. They got to know that they can come to Christ just the way they are. No change is necessary. He wants you and them just the way they are, with all the imperfections that they might bring. You got to show them that. And lastly, it's for our benefit, church. Older saints, it's for your benefit. Makes the workload a little easier on you. They can do some of the heavy lifting. They can do some of the heavy lifting. They can bring more people in for you and me. They can help your church grow. They can help it. But it's for our benefit to love them. The importance of building a great youth ministry. Bring the youth to Christ so that way they can see their Savior, to know our Maker, so that way they can be encouraged and they can encourage someone else. Then they can learn how to encourage themselves. Then lastly, we must equip them. As we close right now, what we do in youth ministry is not about spending money. It's not about playing different music. It's not about getting away where we can do our own thing. It's simply about receiving Christ and advancing his kingdom. That's what youth ministry is all about. It's not about raising a certain amount of dollars. It's not about that. Youth ministry is about focusing on developing a relationship with Christ for young people, meeting their needs, so that way they can share at their local schools who Jesus Christ is, so they can share with their friends at an early age who Jesus Christ is. When we invest in the youth, we invest in the kingdom of God. You know, some of us right now, as a young person, and here's the call. Maybe you haven't fully accepted Jesus Christ into your life. Maybe you fully haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your life. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. It's not me giving the opportunity. It's God giving you the opportunity as your Savior to step up right now as a young person. If you're 0 to 14, 0 to 18, and you want to take that stand, I ask you right now, Christ is asking you to walk out that pulpit, walk out that seat right now, and come on up and just take a stand for him. 0 to 18. 0 to 18. 0 to 18. If you're ready to start making that stand, if you're ready to start being a leader in your church, you step on out your pulpit right now. Here it is. You got 0 to 18 year olds that just made a decision. Now, if you between the ages of 18 and 36, you gonna have the chance to make a decision. And I'm gonna put it black and white. If you know right now, if Christ were to come today, I've never heard anybody do an altar call like this, but I'm gonna put it out there straight. If you know today that if Christ came today and you're between the ages of 18 and 36, that you wouldn't make it to heaven, you step on out that seat right now. You come on out that seat right now and give your life to Christ. If you know right now, if you know right now, if Christ were to come today, that you wouldn't be ready. And it's all right, because I'm standing here with you. I'm going to walk this walk with you. I'm going to support you. Now, here it is again, once again, in black and white. if you are between the ages of 36 and up, and you ready to turn from your evil and wicked ways, and you ready to go to heaven, and you ready to say, Christ, I accept you. But here's the thing. If you know, if Christ were to come today, that you wouldn't make it, you come on out your seat right now. You come on out your seat right now. If you between the ages of 36 and up, it's a very real call. I'm not trying to make it pretty. If you know that you wouldn't make it, you come on up and you let the angels above see you. And you let Satan see you taking that stand right now for righteousness. Now, if you sitting down in your seat now, you saying, I'm ready. You saying, I'm ready. I want you to stand up so that way these young people, these people up here can look back at you and know that they can depend on you. You saying, you ready. So that means nobody should be sitting down. Because if you sitting down, that means you should be up here. Re-giving your life. Re-giving your life. Now, here's the other thing. If you were still sitting in your pew and you just want to be a testimony to somebody, I want you to grab a hand of the person next to you as we pray and close. So that way we can pray over these people. Pastor, when's the next baptism? We got people ready to get their lives. We got Bible studies ready, Bible workers. December 14th, you get one more chance. It's getting full up here. December 14th is the next baptism. We have Bible workers. If you're still sitting out there, but you ready to give your life or to recommit your life, you can come on up as we close. As we close. As we close, you ready to recommit your life? Ready to recommit your life. I'm going to pray for everybody now. Dear kind and heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Lord, we are thankful, so thankful and grateful for the youth that you've blessed this church with, God. Lord, I want to ask you for forgiveness on behalf of all of my brothers and sisters and myself. That might have been a roadblock to some young person actually experiencing and knowing you. Father, we ask that you forgive us sincerely. We don't want to displease you, Father. But we ask that as these young people have recommitted and given their lives over to you, Lord, I ask that you allow us to be humble enough to walk with them and talk with them and to continue to share with them you, Father. Just touch them. Allow their decision not to be a decision based on emotion, but allow their decision to be a decision based on a true heart change, Lord God. And for those of us that's standing, God, Lord, we all say we're ready. I pray simply that you will keep us ready, that you will arm us and guard us to be able to make it through whatever life might shoot at us, God. So I just praise your holy name. We thank you for this Youth Day service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.